The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Through the raising of Lazarus, Jesus offers the world a vision of the life to come, when death and weeping will be no more. I begin reading at verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Martha and Mary were anxious. They were worried. And you can kind of see that anxiety out throughout this whole story today. There's more to the story than what we just read. There's more at the beginning of it. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was ill. They were worried. Their brother was deathly ill, and they sent for Jesus, hoping that Jesus would come and heal them. They were worried about their brother. When Jesus received the word, and he told his disciples after a couple of days that they were going down to Bethany, the disciples were worried, because the last time that they were in that region, the leaders, religious leaders, wanted to do away with Jesus. And so they were worried about Jesus' life. They were anxious. When Jesus arrives, Martha and Mary are still anxious because their brother has died. They're worried. What's their life going to be like now? The people surrounding them were worried. They were concerned about Mary and Martha. The leaders of the Jews, who were also in that crowd as well, were worried about what's Jesus going to do now? What other thing is he going to do that's going to upset us? There's so much anxiety and worry here in this story today. You know, a lot of times our lives are filled with that anxiety and that worry. I think some of the hardest parts of our lives are that time of that emergency type situation, that urgency situation, and the time of resolution of it. We're anxious. We're worried. And we worry about so many things. We worry about family members. We worry about husbands, wives, parents, children. We worry about our friends. We worry when we travel that we'll make it safe. We worry what's coming up in the future. We worry about what's happened in the past. We worry and we are anxious. There was a study done a number of years ago about people who were anxious, about people who worry. And here's some of the results then of that study. And it's in different categories of the different types of worries. The largest category of worry, 40% of our time spent worrying is about things that never happen. 40% of the time, we worry about things that never do come to pass. We may be, for instance, you worry about traveling. Well, and you make it safe. There's no occurrences, nothing out of the ordinary when you travel. But you're worried about it when you're going. 40% of the time, we worry about things that never do happen. Next highest percentage, 30% of our worry concerns things of the past. Things we can't do anything about. Things that can't be changed. They've already happened, but yet we still worry about those. We think about them and maybe it was a bad situation. Maybe it was something bad that we do and we worry about it. But there's nothing that we can do about it. We can't change it. Next percentage, 12%. We worry about criticism by other people. What will other people think? And a lot of times the criticism that we do receive is uninformed criticism. They don't have all the facts. They haven't lived through what we did to make the decisions that we have. Or it's just not true. But yet we worry about it. 12% of our worry. 10% of our worry time deals with health issues. And worrying about health issues is counterproductive because worrying produces stress, which is not good for your health. And the last category, 8%. 8% of our worry deals with things that we will have to face. So we worry constantly all the time, and what it ends up being is that only 8% of the time are things that we can actually deal with or do something about. Worry. It takes up so much of our time, so much of our energy, so much of our health. There's a story about one of Napoleon's generals. He was leading an army of 18,000 troops, and they were moving into Austria, and they came to a town, and they camped outside of that town, intending to invade the town the next day. Well, the Austrian people in that town were very worried because they had no way of defending themselves. And so the town leaders got all together that evening and they started debating and worrying and being anxious about what's going to happen that next morning when that French army comes in. And the only thing they could come up with is that they would capitulate. That they wouldn't even fight, they wouldn't even try, because there was no way that they could defend themselves. And so they were ready to simply give up, to fold. All except one old priest. He said, "Now remember, tomorrow morning is Easter Sunday. I think what we should do is get up in the morning and go to worship, as we always would on Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning. And leave it in the hands of God." And so that's what they did. The next morning at dawn, all the church bells started ringing, calling the people to worship for Easter Sunday morning. But the French army heard all of those bells in town, and they thought something different. They thought the Austrian army during the night had moved in and was there to save the people. And they weren't ready to fight that full Austrian army. So they just simply broke camp and they vanished. There never was any fight. There never was any invasion. We worry about so much, but the key to this is leaving it in God's hands. God's ways are not our ways. God's time is not always our time. In the story today, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that their brother was ill. He waited 2 days. He waited 2 days before he came. God's time is not always our time. We don't always understand the way that God does things. Mary and Martha were so anxious. The people around this whole story were anxious about what Jesus did. But the amazing thing about God is that God can work even through our anxiety. God can work through things that we don't understand. He can work even through evil things. God does not bring the evil upon us. We live in a fallen world. Evil is going to happen here in this world. Bad things are going to happen to us. Pain is going to happen to us. But even in the midst of all that, God can still work.
there's a lot of pain in this story. I mean, for Mary and Martha, their brother was dying, and he did die, and they had to bury him. And in that male-dominated society, what were they going to do? They had no source of income. They had no way of living. What were they to do? And so they were anxious. It was devastating for them. But God is still able to work through that. And Jesus says here, he assures them that he is the resurrection and the life. If they believe, they too will increase in faith. And this whole story is not so much about raising Lazarus or the power of Jesus to raise Lazarus back to life, but rather this story is about increasing faith in people, not only in Mary and Martha, but also those surrounding, those who do not believe in Jesus, so that as Jesus works his power, others can come to faith. For us too, we are put in, we find ourselves in trials and tribulations. We're full of anxiety. We worry about things. How are things going to turn out? And I think worrying or anxiety is actually a natural response. And there's maybe a couple of things that we can actually do. One is just to prepare. If it's something's got you worried, prepare for it. And even if it doesn't come to pass, at least maybe that will relieve some of your anxiety if you feel confident that you can handle whatever the situation is. But I think the more important thing about anxiety or worry is that we do come to God. That God can use that for us to come to him. Maybe that anxiety, that worry is like our church bells, calling us to come to worship, calling us to come to give our troubles to God, to turn those over to God, to give our worry and our anxiety to God. Anxiety is that wake-up call, that those church bells ringing for us to remember that now is the time to come to worship, to remember God, and to give all of that away back to God onto his shoulders. God was able to work through all this anxiety and this worry of Mary and Martha and the Jews and the other mourners around, the disciples, everybody who was anxious in this story. God was on his own time working those miracles and bringing faith to all people. God, too, can work through our worries and anxieties and increase our faith. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.